Well, Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you, Father God, for your beautiful women that you brought on into this earth. And I was thinking today, Father God, not every woman is a mother of her own natural children, but you have made her a mother in the house of God. And she has many, many children that you placed around about her that she needs to minister to. So, Father God, you covered all bases when you made mothers. And I just want to thank you for this day where we can honor our mothers and let them know how much we appreciate them. And tonight, Father God, I really want you to be with us as we go through your word. I want you to be here, Father God, to minister to your children's hearts. And Father God, bring them to the level that you're trying to bring us to. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's so true. And even though you never bore children, you're still a mother. But God says you need mothers and fathers in the house of God. And so even if we didn't have our own children, just start mothering the people or being a father to the people that's in the house of God. We're going to talk about entering in tonight, all right? In Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." I remember one time I was prophesying over my praise and worship leader, and God said to her, "The road is wide." And I thought, that's not true. That's not what the word said. It says the road is narrow to enter in. And so afterwards, I spoke to her because she was a prophet too. And I said, you know, I said, I need to pray with you about that because I feel like that was a false prophetic word. And then God showed me and her that no, it wasn't. That once you enter in through that narrow gate, you have freedom to do anything in the kingdom of God. And the road becomes wide. But until you go through that narrow gate, it is narrow, but once you get in there, you have all of heaven at your disposal. Now I had to go, you know, because I thought, now when I was saying that, that is not scriptural, but it is the truth in God's word. So we said, enter by that. When Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many that go in to the gate to destruction. Then Luke 13:23 says, "And someone said to Jesus, 'Lord, will those who are saved be few?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able.'" See that? "When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out." So God is calling all of us to stay in that narrow gate, go the whole way through it, go into the expanse of heaven, because the disciples said, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" You know, they didn't say many, they said few. And so we know that there's going to be very few that really and truly are saved. But each one of us have to know in our knower that we are one of those few that are saved and that we've entered into the kingdom of heaven. All right, prophets keep writing articles about what is going to be happening in 2020, right? We need to understand that we are never going to enter into what he is saying, you know, what God is saying to these prophets, if we do not enter into his baptism of fire like on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, God has been trying to get us to be baptized with that fire for quite some time now. So I said, we need to understand that we are never going to enter into what God is saying, you know, through the prophets, if we do not enter into his baptism of fire like on the day of Pentecost. Now, the works prophesied by John the Baptist is before us. In Luke 3:16, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you read the word of God, Jesus never baptized anybody. His disciples did the baptizing. And I looked and I couldn't find where Paul ever baptized anybody. The other disciples did all the baptizing. That, to me, that was just interesting. Because Jesus did all he was going to do. He came and he baptized you with fire and water. Isn't that what this says? John said, the one who is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So when you received him, you were baptized in by him in the Holy Spirit and fire, but he never dunked you in the water. All right? And remember, John the Baptist said to Jesus, you should be baptized in me. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. You need to baptize me in the water. All right. Right now, today, God is speaking by his Spirit of the outpouring of holy fire as never seen on earth. And he's been talking to us about that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. At Pentecost, a tiny group of people were baptized in spirit and fire, and the world was impacted forever. Now, this was a group of people sitting in a house, one mind and one accord, total unity, not understanding why they were supposed to be there, but they were in unity. We're supposed to be here, so we're going to stay here. And because they were in unity, one mind and one accord, not knowing what was going to happen, God baptized them with fire. Isn't that awesome? You know, you really could be sitting in your bedroom and God could baptize you alone in the fire. You know, it's your heart, your hungry heart that God is looking at. And if you're crying out for him that you want these things, God's going to give them to you. So I said at Pentecost, a tiny group of people were baptized. We're a tiny group of people, right? The remnant all over the world is just a tiny group of people. We're baptized in spirit and fire, and the world was impacted forever. God wants the body of Christ right now to be baptized in this fire so we can impact the world forever. That it'll never be the same. Now, the Pentecost experience was a beginning, a seed, not the fullness of the holy fire of God to be poured out upon millions. In that little room, it was just a few. Now, Luke 4:14, Jesus was 120, right? All right? That's a few out of the multitudes. All right, Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now, Jesus returned in the Spirit so that children of God, which is you and I, who walk in the Spirit, we should have the Spirit on us. We should be walking totally, completely in the Spirit. We can spread the good news across the world. You're not going to be able to spread the good news anywhere without being filled full and walking in the Spirit. God told us years ago, Spirit is now called the Spirit, and the only way you can communicate me is through the Spirit. He said, all religion is gone. I'm not going to honor religion whatsoever. It's gone. Isn't that, remember him telling us that? He said, a Spirit calling unto Spirit. Jesus is alive today in the lives of those who are in him and in him and in whom he dwells by the Holy Spirit of God. Is Jesus alive in you? That's, you know whether he's not. So if he's alive in you, then his Spirit's in you, right? Jesus is the source of the Spirit and fire baptism. By now, we should be walking in the Spirit and more than ready for the baptism in the fire of holiness. The whole body of Christ, who has been really seeking God's face, should be ready right now. You should be walking in the Spirit excuse me, so that the next step is a baptism of fire. Remember when we had revival here all the time, people would say as they came across the railroad tracks, they would see fire on the roof. There were flames of fire in the roof. And that's how some people was attracted here, because they looked up and saw the fire on top of the building, and they wanted to come and see what was going on inside. And what was going on inside was that people were being baptized in that holy fire. God's Spirit dwelt richly in here, and he was moving mightily, and people's lives were changed. Now, revival can come to those who seek to serve God. You're supposed to be carrying revival within you. You know that, don't you? We aren't supposed to be going to a church and expecting a church to start revival. You should have revival in you. Revival can come to those who seek to serve God just because he is worthy to be served. Not because he can do something great for you, but you just want to serve God because he is God. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God, and that's all you know about him. And you just love him. You just want to serve him. You're not worried about what he's going to do for you, right? You're not going to worry how famous you're going to get because you serve him. It's just you serve him just because you love him. I remember when I was first born again, every church I went into, right away they wanted to put me to work. And I said, I really don't want to do nothing. I just want to come and sit in the presence of the Father. I didn't need a title. I didn't need to be doing something. I just wanted to be in the presence of the Father. Because I've been to so many churches before that, then didn't have the Spirit moving, and I just wanted to be there and feel the Spirit. But now that's not the way it goes, is it? Everybody wants to have a part. Everybody wants to be the head, and nobody wants to be the tail or the in-between. And see, you're not serving God for the right reasons. And God always made me get up there and do something, even though I didn't want to do it. So maybe God's not using you to do anything because you want to do something. Maybe you're just not content in just coming and sitting in his presence. I'm trying to get a point across. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you forget about yourself and all you want to do is just serve the living God, God's going to use you. All right? I hope it's all right. I hope you're understanding this. All right. Just because he's worthy to be saved, he is God Almighty. He created all that exists. He is glorious. He is holy, 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 according to the angels. He is a God who is love, who is all-powerful, who is jealous, who is a King of kings and a Lord of lords. That's who God is. And that's who we want to serve. How many of you just, you might be doing something. I don't care, you're working or we're out in the yard or just sitting at home. You'll be watching TV and all of a sudden you say, I just love you so much, Father. You know? It pops out of you, like if you had your mate there and all of a sudden you tell them how much you love them. It just totally consumes you. You just feel his love, you know. Well, no, you feel your love for him. And you just have to tell him how much you love him. All right? The other night I was laying in bed and I had told the kids to be quiet while I prayed. They say there were prayers too. And then I was laying there and I said, Father, I really do love you. And Isaiah said, why did you tell him that? You already told him that before. I didn't realize I was saying it out loud, but he was listening, you know. And I said, because I do love him. I said, you tell him you love him, don't you? He said, yeah, but you just told him that. I said, well, how many times will I tell you you love me? I said, some days you'll come and tell me 10 times within 5 minutes how much you love me. I said, we do the same thing to God. Amen? We just do. I know married people don't do that no more. They're not spontaneous. You know? They don't just all of a sudden walk up and say, you know, I really do love you. Maybe some of you do, but the majority of married people don't. You just think they're in your way. And so that's how you treat God too. You just don't tell him you love him. If you say, God, I really do love you, but yet you won't go anywhere near your husband, then you're telling God a lie. Because if you love God, then you also love your spouse. Now here I am on this spouse thing again. You know, come on. You cannot love God and not love your spouse. You cannot love God and just live in a house with a person. You can't. And just wish they'd go away somewhere. You can't do that. You really don't love God. That's what the Word of God, isn't that the Word of God tells you? All right, let's get off of that now. Where am I at? The body of Christ needs to lay down their lives to serve Him because He is worthy. Come on. The body of Christ needs to lay down their lives to serve God because He is worthy. Whether you receive anything or not, whether you are healed or not, or have riches or not, the body needs to serve Him because of who He is and seek to glorify Him in all the earth. I was talking to Teresa, I think, the other day. It might have been Gabriel. But I said, you know, I used to think I had the most beautiful house in the world. To me, it was my mansion. And then I said, and all of a sudden, all these people start coming into churches. They have bigger swimming pools. They have more beautiful homes. They have more beautiful cars and nicer clothes. And I said, here I sit in my own little world, thinking I have everything. But I really do have everything. I have everything that I have need of. And I've always wanted more beautiful things, but I never got them. But I said, Gabriel, I said, one day I'm going to have my mansion in heaven. It'll be just like I desire it to be. But right now, I'm content with what I have. You know, what you have doesn't faze me. Because I know what I have. I have Jesus down inside. And Jesus has made a way. Are you understanding this tonight? It doesn't, your material things mean absolutely nothing to God. It's how you feel towards God that means everything to God. All right? Newsflash. Is that where I'm at? We are made for God. He is not made for us. He is worthy of the sacrifice of our lives as living sacrifices unto Him. It has been clearly evidenced through past revivals that the prayer of a few holy people who are led of the Spirit can cause the fire of God to come down. If you really read about past revivals, which I really don't, but every now and then a prophet will stick one up there, because I don't want to do what the other prophets did in revivals, because God said don't want that, because He has something greater for us. So I keep my mind in tune on what the greater things He has for us. But if you do read those things, a few people prayed, and God sent down the fire from heaven and started revivals and did great miracles. You see, I said a few people prayed. No, a few holy people prayed. There's a difference. Y'all didn't even catch that. You just let that skip right over the top of your heads. All right. Holy people are those who continuously walk in the Spirit. Holiness comes from being saturated or baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus is a baptizer and lives in those who have given their lives to Him. Read that again, Brett. Holy people are those who continuously walk in the Spirit. Holiness comes from being saturated or baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus is a baptizer and lives in those who have given their lives to Him. The other day somebody was talking to me, and I didn't realize they were wanting God, you know, to give them a prophetic word. And we was all through talking. They said, you didn't even say this is what God is saying. How come you didn't say that? And I said, well, He just didn't say nothing. They said, you always say that. God always speaks to you. I said, well, I've noticed lately He's not doing that. I said, I think maybe He's trying to get your attention so that you hear what He has to say. See that? You know, like last night, I was sitting just studying yesterday, and all of a sudden God gave me a prophetic word for somebody. I wasn't thinking about them. I was trying to get the morning sermon together. But here's God. He wants to tell them something. You understand this? See, if you're walking holy and you're saturated in the Holy Spirit and fire, God can, you know, and God says be instant in season and out of season, God can speak to you any given time He wants to. Come on. I'm going to get all religious now, and I'm going to get all straight, and I'm going to seek God's face. Get out of here. Get out of here. Well, God, now I've gotten everything quiet, and now it's time for you to speak to me. No, he wants to speak to you at any, as he said, be instant in season, out of season, and you're supposed to be ready for to hear his voice at all given times. All right. I'll never be guilty of being getting all ready for hear God's voice. Just doesn't work like that with me. All right. This coming kingdom revival will be different, and he's been telling us that, from past outpourings, because it will be all about God and his glory and his kingdom, and not about me or you. God alone is worthy. It's not going to be one person bringing the revival. It is going to be a group of people in unity that God is going to fall upon to bring revival. If you want to be the head cheese, well, head cheese, take a back seat, because that's not going to happen, because God said there's not going to be no big guy or little guy in this revival. He has been telling us that, and I hope that's gotten down into your spirit. All right, God, I just want to be on the team. I just want to work with the team, and you do what you want to do through whoever you want to. There was a church over in Baltimore. What was the name? Henny Tin or something like that? Tommy Tin? Huh? Yeah, Tommy Tin. Yeah. He belonged to a church over in Baltimore. The pastor was away, but God showed up that night and happened to knock him on the floor for a while. And he got up and he wrote a book about it, and he traveled around. I haven't heard about him for years. But see, the pastor wasn't even there. God just decided to fall in that church. Remember Benny Hinn was, he had held a revival, and he was caught up in traffic, and I think it was being held in Baltimore, and he called ahead and said, I'll be there, but I'm still tied up in traffic. And they said, don't worry about it. God's already showed up. And Benny Hinn hadn't even gotten there yet. See, it's not about the person. It's about God and his glory and what he wants to do. Are you listening? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Hey, news flash. He created you. You didn't create yourself. He pulled you out of the miry clay. You didn't pull yourself out of there. You didn't find him. He found you. And he said, this is your hour now to shine. I need to get you up out of your mess and teach you of my ways so I can send you forth to do the works that needs to be done. He'll find you. I don't care where you're at. He'll find you. He really will find you. You'd be in the back hills of West Virginia milking the cows, and he'll find you. And you think, oh, I went and I got saved. I found Jesus. No. He knew where you were at, and he pulled you to where he was at because he wanted to get your attention and get you saved. I wished we'd get that right, too. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people in the nation. They're talking about Jesus, all right? And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and mighty forever and ever. They knew how to praise the Father. They knew what Jesus did. I wish the body of Christ would understand what Jesus really did. I don't like to watch the whipping anymore. I never did like to watch it, but now I don't like to watch it because I get angry because I know how people just walk all over that blood, mock everything that Jesus did. It upsets me. Upsets me desperately. I have to repent sometimes. I get so mad about that. Because you keep going back into your sin nature saying, that blood means nothing to me. I can't help if you're dumb enough to get whipped 39 times. Get a crown of thorns stuck on your head. That's your problem, not mine. So I'm just going to go ahead and keep right on sinning. Because, do you understand what I'm saying here? Because that meant nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. See, if that really meant something to you, you would be really working really hard to get out of your sin, if you're in sin. You would be working really super hard to be walking in the Spirit, to show God how much you really care for Him and what He allowed His Son to go through just for you. Another news flash. Just because the cross happened and just because the resurrection took place does not mean that we are redeemed and carriers of the fire. Galatians 5:16 tells us, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And Galatians 5:25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." I'm Spirit-filled, and you're out there acting like a fool. You're not Spirit-filled when you do that, guys. Come on. You would like to be, but you're not. After all, you need to bow to me, and I'm Spirit-filled. Come on. You know, my kids hear this all, my two boys hear this all the time. They really do. They know who God is, and they know what they better not be doing. We're supposed to, God told me, you have to train these children up in the ways that they should go, because I'm going to hold you accountable. And I told him one day, I said, I'm not going to stand before God and see him say to me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't know you, because you let those boys go to hell. You know what I'm saying? You better train your wife up in the ways that she should go. Amen. You need to get her in line. She need to at least hold your hand when you walk down the street. After all, you bake a cake and you cook for her. And she won't even hold your hand walking down the street. I watch her. I think, slap her, God. Slap her real hard. I mean, you people do the dumbest things and say, I'm a child of God and I love God. He's not going to give you coronavirus. And don't say, well, we have to walk 6 feet apart, because this close is not walking 6 feet apart. And your hands are dangling beside each other. Then take anything to go boop and hold on to it. Come on. I could always tell when Larry was happy with me. When he's happy with me, he always held my hand. When he wasn't, he'd go. He didn't want to touch me in any way, shape, or form. One day I said, you don't have to do that. If you don't want to hold my hand, don't hold my hand. I already know you're upset with me, so don't hold my hand and pretend like you're not. Come on. Let's be real. Let's really walk in the Spirit as Jesus walked in the Spirit. He got mad. He told his disciples, I'm going to go away and pray. Y'all stay here. He was disgusted with him. All right, I lost my place. No. Those without Christ have only one choice, and that is to walk in the flesh. Those in Christ have two choices. If we are not walking in the Spirit, we are not in the Spirit and will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is only two ways to live life on this earth. One is to walk by the flesh and fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the other is to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but fulfill the divine will and purpose of God in the world. Y'all have that, right? See, we had a wonderful, the morning service was really wonderful. God was talking about anointing us. Now tonight is wonderful too, because he wants us to enter into this baptism of fire. And so he's teaching you before he does that. So don't sit there and go, get all disgruntled. You need to go get dipped again. I said, the next church we're ever going to have a baptismal, and then every time you do something dumb, I'm going to dip you. Till you really get baptized. Amen? All right, now, the holy fire that brings revival will only come in a people seeking God with their whole hearts and who walk in the Spirit. Many, if not most, church people have disqualified themselves from revival fire. They have simply not become living sacrifices to God and have been conformed to this world. Ignoring all God is and all God has done, They continue in their comfortable way of conformity to the world. And talk about church people. I got to wake the other morning and say, well, God, this is, I'm a getting up and I'm picking up that cross. Whatever it bears, whatever it's on it, I'm going to bear it. I said it just like, isn't that dumb? So then I had to go back and repent and say, Father, I'm really sorry. Whatever, I am picking up my cross this morning because the day before was really bad. But that's no excuse. If you walk in the Spirit, Jesus carried his cross every day. Did he not? And I don't see where he complained. He just told the people what he thought. Because he knew who he was. He didn't complain. We have to pick up our, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're holy people walking in the Spirit, we can't say something dumb like that to God in that attitude. And I got to tell myself, well, anyhow, the baby recorded it. And coming down the church day, I said, who is that? They said, that's what you sound like when you're angry. I said, erase it. He didn't. No, I want you to hear what you sound like when you're angry. I said, well, okay, I'm going to record what you sound like when you're throwing a fit. So see, God's reminding me, watch what you say. The little ears are listening. I didn't even know he was laying there with his little tablet in his bed. Oh, well. Matthew 3:10 says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. If you are saying that you are in Christ, the Word of God says that you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Are you professing something that you are not? Please think about this. Quit professing. You need to stop and think about what you say before you say it. Because you don't want to be guilty of professing something that you are not. I'm hearing God say too many of his children are doing that. And one day they're going to reap what they've sown. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Try the spirits is trying to get you to do something. Make sure it's always God. Tonight, God wants to baptize you with fire and power, just like the day of Pentecost in Acts. Are you ready to receive the fullness of the Godhead mightily? Colossians 2:9. We already read that, didn't we? Yeah, we read that. I'm sorry. All right. So this same Jesus is calling you, that we read in Colossians 2, now we already read that scripture. This same Jesus is calling you forward tonight into the baptism of power and fire to be fire carriers and bring the harvest in. Now I know in this sanctuary there's many times God has yelled the word fire. And I've seen God hit the people and they've jerked and jumped. And a month later I see the same people where they lost the fire. Because they were right back to square one all over again. Now tonight, yes, God's leading us because he's getting ready to use us now. And he's trying to get us fully prepared so that the enemy can no longer use your vessel for dishonor. Tonight, God wants to fill you full of the fire and the power in his spirit. And he doesn't want you to ever lose it ever again. So I want you to take a few minutes right now. You know where you're at with God. And if you have to repent because you aren't doing everything God's called you to do, then repent it. Repent. But I want you to get yourself ready for God to drop that fire, that Holy Spirit fire and power, and saturate you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, so God can use you as a fire carrier into this lost and dying world. Father, right now, I'm asking you to look at the hearts of the people, those in the church and those on the video. Look at their hearts, Father God. And I'm asking you, Father God, to bring your grace and your mercy. And I'm asking you, Father, as they're crying out to you, to prepare them for this fire drop. And Father, we just thank you for it. We just thank you for it. And God is saying, I want to burn up all the chaff when I drop this fire. I want to burn up all the chaff. And I want only the wheat to remain in each one of my children. And he's saying he's not distant, he's not far off. But he's right there with you. And he's getting ready to drop that fire right now. Just like he did in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. So right now, just raise your hands. And now just receive that drop right now. A total manifestation of my glory will be seen upon you. You will carry my fire to the nations. This fire will subdue everything that is not of me. Receive right now the baptism of fire and power. God is saying, my floor is wide open. And as I pour my power into you, let it saturate every fiber of your being. And God is saying this, because of this fire that he is dropping upon you, some of you are going to have dreams and visions tonight of future events. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy fire being poured into holy people.